You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And my guest this evening is Kutsai Tinago. And Kutsai Tinago, by the way, is a storyteller. Like I said, it's already just paving the way for a beautiful conversation because I love stories. I grew up with a grandmother, so we were told stories from our childhood. So anything with storytelling inside, I really love it. So he's a storyteller. Listen to this. Multi-award-winning international content creator for humanitarian and development work. He's a cinematographer, he's a creative director, and he's a visionary leader behind Tikzozo Media. And I believe he's already joining us on the line. Good evening, Kutsai.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And how are you?
Well, man, I'm doing very well, and I'm excited to be on this show.
So am I here. And how was your day?
Busy as usual. It's month end.
Yeah.
But it was a good day.
So who do I send an invoice to?
You send straight to accounting.
Oh, I don't send it to you.
No, you don't send it to me.
Wait, Kutsai, what's the point of being connected, Kant? What's the point of me knowing you? Because I can send it straight to you, approve. You don't even ask questions. It goes straight to finance. Next day, tomorrow, I can get my payment for this interview again.
You know, if I approve,
yeah,
finance will be on my case tomorrow. They'll deduct it from my salary.
How can you just wing it and just say, listen, guys, just pay. Don't ask questions. We'll talk about audit some other day. Just approve this thing, man, eh?
It's going to be a burning one for me.
Thank you so much, man, for joining us. Really appreciate it. How's the weather that side?
It's a bit hot in the afternoon, then in the evening it's cold.
Okay.
But I think it's still bearable.
It
depends with the day. Some days are cold, some days are, well, just the average weather.
I see. And today was a little bit cold.
It was, in the afternoon it was hot.
Okay.
And right now it's a bit cold.
I think
the temperatures are down a bit. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fantastic. I think we are moving towards the winter season, especially this part of the world, Southern Hemisphere. And it only just makes sense that we are getting there. But thank you so much, man, for taking the time. Really appreciate it. And I was looking at your bio there, and I've just only spoke about one or two things, and I really haven't gone through a lot. But tell us a little bit then, because this section of the show, which is called Shapeshifters, this is where we bring people like yourselves, right, to... Mm-hmm. I suppose encourage young people, encourage us as well. Tell us a little bit about who you are, because there might be young people that are looking up to you. There might be other people that are also looking up to you, might not necessarily have an opportunity to talk to you or even just to say, hi, Kutsai, and all those. So either because of your business or just, you know, the kind of work that you do also in that fashion as well, kind of brings us then to this kind of a conversation. And that's why I'm saying we appreciate your time. We understand you are very, very busy, but if people ask you, and it's a weird question, and I think it's definitely a weird question, but how do you answer that question when people say, please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, yeah, that's a very weird question.
I know.
Usually you always answer it according to context, depending on the place where you are.
Yes.
So in general, I think I can answer it this way.
Yeah.
Well, Ago is an Adventist, that's number one.
Okay.
And is a media practitioner based in Zimbabwe. So what I do is I create content for quite a number of organizations, including the church. And I run a media company called Tikzozo Media that has a team of excellent, brilliant young people who are doing but creating the best media content on the planet right now.
That's a very interesting and bold statement. Across the world right now.
Yes.
Ah, love that, love that. Now, just before we even go very far, you're saying you create content. This content creation thing seems to be abused, at least from where I stand from, because a lot of people are content creators. What exactly are we doing? And I know we're going to talk a little bit about your work, but just right there, what is this content creation?
That's another one, another very interesting question.
Yeah.
Well, content creation is about developing audio and visuals
okay.
that address certain issues in the community.
Yeah.
Be it the social issues,
yeah.
be it the fashion issues,
yeah.
the cultural, the religious issues.
Yeah.
So it's about creating content that has an audience.
So there's content that doesn't have an audience by implication.
True that.
Oh my goodness. I didn't expect that. I thought you're going to be diplomatic about it.
Oh man.
So, so, yeah. so do you sit sometimes and look at something like, oh, they shouldn't have done that?
That's very true.
Oh, you have stress. That's very true. You have
and if I'm close life. Enough, I don't hesitate to advise a brother yeah. or a sister that you could have done it that way.
I could say, hey. Well, now you are a police, Moshe, a content police for us.
I always do it in the nicest of ways, and I always offer hands to help, especially the young people in the church.
Yes.
I always offer help, my help to them.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Where were you born, by the way?
I was born in Zimbabwe, Harare, the capital.
In Harare.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and how was it like growing up in Harare? And I mean, I'm asking because we've got listeners across the world as well. And some might be like, what does Harare look like? Besides the fact that one can Google it, but what was your experience growing up there? What were some of the things that you were seeing? And how has that sort of like shaped and influenced who you are today?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. I'm really proud to answer this question because I grew up in a ghetto community in the 90s
yeah.
when relationships used to matter in the communities that we used to live in.
Yes.
So I grew up under my parents, when both my parents are alive.
Yeah.
I grew up under my parents, but I grew up in a community whereby we were treated as children of the community, not me as an individual personality, but we're treated like young people who were just the same with my age mate.
Yeah.
So, you know, when such a place, if you have people that are 3+ or 3- years to you, you are treated equally the same in the same community.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of setup that I grew up in.
And what do you think has contributed to the change, if there is?
To the changes in?
Yeah, because you're saying when you grew up, relationships used to matter, you know, children were treated the same way in the community. Has that changed? And if yes, what do you think has contributed to that change?
Westernization, my brother.
Okay.
It has given us a sense of individualization than the spirit that we used to have, the spirit of Ubuntu. Actually,
yes.
did a whole documentary on this. We used to have the spirit of Ubuntu whereby I belonged to the community, but now the state is, this is my son. Nobody can touch or rebuke my son. Nobody can have anything to do with my son.
Yeah.
So that's the difference that we see now in the community.
That's a very sad
thing. So I remember one day I was crossing one of the busiest main roads and we're not allowed to go there when I was a child. And some aunt from the neighborhood saw me there. She dragged me from that road straight to my mother's place because to her, I was as equal as a son to her. So that was the community that I grew up in, whereby the whole village, the whole church would take care of us.
Sure, that's an important point. Already a comment coming and saying, definitely, that's how things used to be. And I think this spirit of Ubuntu is something that's proliferated across the African continent. And it's very sad, like you're saying, we've kind of become westernized quite a bit and a lot. And in the process, I suppose, a lot of that Ubuntu has been lost in the process. And that's really sad because Ubuntu is a sense of who we are as the African continent. I think we need to revive that a little bit. When you grew up as a child, and I want to just stay there a little bit on when you grew up, and I love the point about relationships and all that. How did you find the socioeconomic circumstances around your community, or were there no such, or you were oblivious to that as a child?
As a child, the socioeconomic situation when we grew up in the 90s into the 2000s, you know, we were not even much concerned about what was happening in terms of the economics of the world, because we were more treated equally.
Yeah.
You know, the only difference would be maybe the neighbors have bought a new TV,
yes,
which by some chance would also benefit from that TV back.
Yes.
So I think it was fair. My parents and the parents in the community, they used to afford the basic living standards that we had, which was very simple.
Yeah.
And I think the money that we used to spend as a whole family for a month right now, we can't spend it for a week.
Things are bad these days, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And schools, what schools did you go to? What type of schools were they?
Well, I went to a government school that was 13 seconds away from my house, literally in front of my neighborhood.
Wait, you're not exaggerating. You said 13 seconds.
13 seconds, exactly 13 seconds from my gate to get to the school gate, and right in front of my house.
You were always late.
I was never late.
Oh, okay.
My mom was a vendor right at the school gate.
Yeah.
So she would ensure that his son are in the school compound in time always.
Ah, okay. I find that a lot of people who stay closer to work, to school, to, you know, they always are late. It's like they just wake up and conscious just here. I'll just walk here, you know. often, really. And people who stay very far, they always wake up early in the morning. People here in South Africa, we've got people who stay in a place called Brakpan. That place is it's far from everything. It's far from malls. It doesn't have easy access. It has a toll gate when you go to, like, it's very far. So people from Brakpan, they wake up very early in the morning. So we've got those type of places and all of that. So when you grew up, Kutsai, did you think you'll do the kind of work that you did, or what did you grow up wanting to be?
Okay, like any other child who grows up in the ghetto, there are basically four jobs that you would be aiming to do.
Yes, definitely.
That's what the society
tells
definitely.
You. Yeah.
Whether you're going to be a pilot, you're going to be a doctor,
lawyer,
you're going to be a lawyer,
yeah,
or you're going to be a politician,
yeah,
you're going to be the president, the minister. Those are basically the jobs. But myself, I was not really concerned about that because I used to stand out a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't really have a direct interest of what I was going to be, but I just, you know, from the messages that I would get from people, the motivation I would get from people, it was all inclined to be somebody who's going to be special of some sort. I used to be an all-rounder from primary school.
Okay.
I'd do all the sports.
Yeah.
I'd perform very well in school. And I was very lazy as well, and very playful as well. So it was very difficult. I would get the most whooping by the teacher. At the same time, I get the best grade.
Oh, look at you. What a dichotomy, some people might say. You were the class clown, but the class clown that got good marks.
Exactly.
Well, now you are cheating other kids. I mean, that's not fair. You know, laughing with them, can't you know you go and study behind the scenes?
It was also because of the parents. They wouldn't tolerate anything after number five.
I'm sure. Ghetto life. I just want to stay there a little bit before as well. What is ghetto life in the context of Harare, for example? Because if you come to think about it, different parts of the world see ghetto differently. You know, in the ghetto here in South Africa, for example, we're talking about gangsterism. We're talking about communities where it's unsafe and all that. You literally have to watch your back wherever you go. Was that the kind of ghetto in Harare at the time?
At the time, it was not really like that, but it was a laid-back kind of environment.
So a suburban ghetto.
Everything is slow, man. It was so slow. And, you know, the way we thought our lives and our parameters and our visions were in close to that ghetto. To the point that the only achievement that you really think of was to get money. When you get money, you return to the ghetto, stay in the ghetto, and, you know, be recognized there.
That's interesting.
And in terms of crime.
In
terms of crime, it was very low. It was very, very, very low.
That's very safe, eh? Yeah. In high school, how was it?
High school, I went to Nyazura Adventist High School.
Yeah.
It was a good experience. It was an eye-opening experience. And I think that's when my life started taking shape.
Yeah.
Because I became a public speaker by then. I wanted to take all the attention. I was performing averagely good in class, but the best, because I wanted to do a little bit of everything from basketball, public speaking, and all that.
So you tried everything.
I tried everything, man. I was the basketball captain. I was the vice captain of the school. I was the interact president. I was a public speaker, debates, speaker, and all that. Because I grew up as somebody who had a lot of energy, to do a lot of things. Yeah,
that's interesting. What gave you the perspective that you can do everything that you want? Is it like family that always encouraged you? Because you find that people in their high school years, teenagers, they're still figuring themselves out. You ask them, so what do you want to be? What do you want? They can't even figure out what they want. But what gave you the sense of direction around where you want to be?
This one I'll give it to my teachers. They somehow, and my institution, the institution that I grew up in, they always thought I can do more than I could do at any given point in time. And also, I had a lot of influence amongst my peers, my classmates, and my dorm mates. So they always wanted to pin down the one who has the most influence so that they can control the whole head.
That's quite clever.
Yeah. I was more of a comedian as well back then. So I would attract a lot of attention from colleagues and classmates and all that. So it gave me a bit of influence. And with influence also comes responsibility, whereby, you know, when you want to elect a dining hall attendant or somebody, a leader, people always choose you because you're the most talkative, you're a comedian, and so forth. That's what used to happen.
That's interesting. Did you, between you and I, no one is listening to, I'm sure that brought you the girls as well, you know?
Yeah, it did. But my brother was a senior teacher.
So he kept you on the leash.
He kept me on the leash day in and day out.
That's interesting. Okay, that's a lovely one. University then, what did it look like? You know, what were your dreams? What were your experience if you went there, and what was it like?
Okay, I went to the University of Zimbabwe and I studied psychology. So I kind of like took my high school personality to college.
Okay.
And garnered some few fans. But then life kind of like turned.
Okay.
Because in university, the things that used to matter from high school were different from what mattered at college.
Yeah.
It was an issue of money. It was an issue which I didn't have.
Yeah.
It was an issue of family names, which I didn't have.
Yeah.
It was an issue of... So I had to find my own way of getting my influence back. I tried basketball. I was barged on the first day. They didn't want me there.
Are you short?
Then I'm not short.
Okay.
I'm somewhere close to 2 meters. I'm actually 1.8.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, but, you know, it was more of, you know, who are you?
I see.
I tend to... You said nobody's listening, right?
No one is listening. I tell you that.
I turned to student activism.
And
I became the president of one union.
Yes.
That was the leading union at the institution.
Yeah.
That time in 2013 to 15.
Okay. Yeah. You sound like a PK though. What was that like? I'm sure that was like almost a conflict of interest, being a church person and then unionist as well.
Yeah, you're very right. Most people thought I was a PK.
Are you not?
I was very active. I am not.
No, but you have been in the church since your young age.
Yeah, and not just being in the church,
yeah.
Actively.
You see, you qualify as a PK. It doesn't matter whether parents were pastors or not. When you fall in the gang, when PKs are called to the side, you should join them, my brother, because you are a PK.
I actually used to join them.
You see?
For benefits only.
That's why you should do that. If there are no benefits, leave. But yeah, the PKs are benefiting till today. They've expropriated the faith. So you should just join them, these PKs, eh?
Yeah. So I was an active master guide, by the way. Very active master guide.
Mm.
And I made it to the conference, all those committees, advisory at a very young age. So I was trying to, I was actually juggling between balancing my university life
and
also my church influence life.
Yes. Oh, you're an influence even in the church. Someone saying that we thank God for your brother. So you see, you're a ladies' man, and someone saying we thank God for your brother that kept you on the leash there. So he said your brother was doing a very good job.
True that. My brother really
did a good job. And also another one saying we can adopt him as a PK right now. For example, we have voted Sibongile in. So you see, PKs are already voting you in to join them as well, because they are people. Well, now they are born PKs. They are voting you in to become a PK. And I think you've already accepted the call since you were young, eh?
I have accepted the call. I'm in 100%.
You can't deny that. Sibongile can't deny it as well. She's been adopted. So
just
you
like a
join.
Pastor, it's also a call.
Exactly, you know. And don't run away, because between Tarashish and Nineveh, you don't want to find yourself somewhere there. Because God has a way to bring you back, and you know, he'll just bring you back in there. So why psychology though?
Okay. Interestingly is I wanted to do law because it seemed like it was a paying job.
Yeah.
But law required 15 points. I had 11.
Yeah.
So I had to choose between sociology and psychology.
Okay.
So I had to choose psychology because it seemed like the better bet, because it required an A in English and an A in mathematics or level, which I had.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing that.
Yeah.
And also, I had interest in understanding how the human mind operates.
And did you find that a fulfilling journey?
It was fulfilling, man.
Mm.
It was a fulfilling journey. The lecturers loved me. I loved the subject that I was studying. And it helped to unlock certain things that I didn't know about human beings.
Mm.
And you should try it someday when you have time.
Yeah.
It will change the perspective of humanity.
Hey, so do you sit there and unintentionally look at people and be like, you see, this one has a problem, that one doesn't, without necessarily, you know, giving a professional opinion? And I find that, you know, psychologists just can't resist that thing of analyzing us.
That's true, man. You can't resist it. It's in you. It's something that you have learned for 4 years. So you just automatically do it. You just say, okay, this one is a problem. I will not comment on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, this is about to be a fight right now.
You can
tell it in about a few minutes or a few seconds before it happens, because you understand how personalities clash. If this one is an introvert, an extrovert, they're about to clash and all that. You can see that from the theory and some of the practical things that you learn from college.
Please don't analyze this conversation. The views expressed in this conversation are not mine, but they are the producer's views. So anything you hear from me today, please don't analyze anything here.
Oh, man. You are safe. Don't worry, man. You are safe.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Did you ever work? Did you pursue employment within this space, or which route did you take?
Not a single day have I ever been employed as a psychologist.
Ah, okay. Was there a particular reason why not?
I didn't get the job. I didn't get the opportunity to.
Okay.
I actually got other opportunities.
Okay. And was that frustrating for you?
No, it was not. It was exciting, actually.
Okay. Tixozo, then, where in this spectrum was it launched? And what was the reason behind? Was it the advancement of this so-called social media?
I always had interest in camera from as far as I remember. I even have a picture of mine. I think I was around 4 years crying for a camera. Then the cameraman took my picture of my hand and my face, trying to get the camera from him. You know.
You still have that picture?
Yeah. My mom does have it.
Yo.
So Tixozo was born out of the skills that I was developing.
Yeah.
As I grew my career.
Yeah.
Working for Adra Zimbabwe. So my college life, soon after college, I tried to work for some commercial company, but it didn't work out. We had so many disagreements. Mm. Then soon after that, I did a program from the Seventh-day Adventist Church called One Year in Mission.
Yeah.
And then during my 1 year in mission, when I was already in mission, that's when I was adopted for work by Adra Zimbabwe. And then I started working for Adra Zimbabwe. Then I became a communications officer for Adra Zimbabwe. Hence, it sparked my interest in photography and videography. Yeah. Then 2018, I decided to open my own company whilst I was still working for Adra Zimbabwe.
Ah, okay. And how was that 1 year in mission for people who have never been there?
It was the closest I've gone to God. It was the best time of my adulthood, young adulthood.
Mm.
It was fulfilling. Mm. That's when I experienced some of the most amazing, imminent miracles that God can do when you're working for Him.
Sure. That's lovely. And would you say in your career so far, that's perhaps one of the highs, or do you have any other one that you can think of as a high so far in your career?
I think it was one of the highs.
Yeah. So there's many highs. There's one where you signed a nice check there.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
of
look
course,
at
when
that.
There are highs that recently happened some couple of years ago.
Okay.
But in terms of shaping my career, that was working for God, serving the church was one of my highs in my career.
And the lows?
And the lows was the decision that I made for myself
mm.
to leave Adra and start freelance full time.
Mm.
Man.
That's very difficult.
The world is brutal. The world was so mean to me. I had to, you know, to go back.
Yeah.
And gather more funds.
Mm.
And then came back to the freelance world.
What was that like, the brutalness of the world?
Everyone, friends and relatives, colleagues, they're excited when you start something.
Mm.
But when it comes to supporting you,
they don't.
You are on your own.
Sure.
You are literally on your own.
Mm.
Mm. Nobody's coming to save you.
Hey, yeah. And I hear that quote quite a lot these days. It seems like it's even more pronounced these days that no one is coming to save you.
That's very true. Mm. That's very true.
Sure. That's an interesting one. The world is brutal. What kept you motivated then?
Passion keeps me going, because there are times when money cannot push you to any level because you don't have it.
Mm.
Only the passion, the art, the free jobs that I used to do just to achieve a certain level of creativity.
Mm.
That's what kept me going.
Mm. Okay. Do you have projects that you look back at and you're like, yes, this is a reassurance that I'm doing something right?
Yeah.
Mm.
I have projects that I have a current project, The Spirit of Ubuntu.
Yeah.
It's a documentary film that I did from 2022 and was launched in New York.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, this January. It has won over 15 international awards.
Sure.
And I went to, you know, I filmed this in about 10 countries.
Yeah.
Including South Africa.
Yes.
And it has made a lot of milestone and a lot of noise, still going, still only available in theaters. It's going to be public very soon, but it has been one of the greatest achievements that I've done in my career.
And I hope you've monetized that, eh?
Sorry?
I hope you're monetizing that as well.
Unfortunately, it was not my personal project. I can't afford to travel to 10 countries and film for 6 months.
It
belongs to the owner of the executive director. So they have plans to monetize it. I'll just get my credit as a film director.
Yes, yeah. Okay, now that's also good enough. That's also good enough. I think it establishes your name as well. Within this particular space, and just this, I mean, you started your business then in 2018. You know, you've worked through at ADRA, you've done that 1 year in Mission. If you were to sum up just that particular bit, you know, of your life, what would be the lesson that you think you've learned throughout that time?
Well, the lesson that I can say I learned is that fortune favors the resilient. You have to continuously put in the work. You have to continuously put in the effort for you to make it to where you want to be. I actually posted something on my LinkedIn this morning to say, you know, you can be grinding hard for 4 years with no results, and in your fifth year you become the biggest thing on the planet. The undying spirit of never yielding transforms underdogs into legends. And remember that it doesn't favor the faint hearted. It is written by the steadfast.
I feel goosebumps. I don't know whether to continue this with this conversation, but that's beautiful, man. That's really, really beautiful. Sure. Just as you're about to give up on the fourth year, you know, you can just become the next big thing on the fifth year. So we need to hold on and not give up on that. Okay, we round it up now. I want to talk about money. That's what we do here on Business Sense. We are not shy to get into conversations about money because we do think that those conversations are important. How would you characterize your relationship with money?
Okay, you know, I can say, as someone who has had days of lack and a day of having, my relationship with money is, I am a giver. I am not the best person to be dealing with finances, because if anybody comes looking for help and I have to help, I just give. That's why I've employed finance people at my organization.
Yes.
I money. Sure. We decide on money and we stick to the decisions and the policies that we have set.
Yeah.
Because if you leave the decision to me, I'm a poor man every day.
you're a man with a good heart. You're not a poor man. You're a man with a good heart. And it's good to steward that by putting people in the right places so that, you know, we live in a terrible world where people can take advantage of you and any other person. So having that in place is actually a good thing. So I would say you are a good man. You're a good man. And that's an important trait, because we've got some brutal people out there who have money. And they'll do whatever it takes to make sure that they keep this money. And so if you have that type of an attitude, a heart, I say you are a good man. But what would you say is the one mistake you think you've made around money? Splash it, had nice things and bought all the way to the last cent?
The mistake that I've made with money. It might be a mistake, but I don't regret it.
Okay.
I bought the wrong equipment when I was starting.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, I bought everything that I saw on YouTube as fancy. And I bought it for no apparent reason. Just because looks fancy.
Mm.
And I spend too much money focusing on the things that don't improve the quality of my work, but that makes me doing a lot.
Oh, no. Sure. Okay. But it's not a regret. So that's a good thing. There's some silver lining there, which is also quite very important. But it's a lesson nonetheless, I suppose. And that's why we must have, I suppose, the right people then managing the money and making sure we buy the right things. And so that's quite key. Tigzozo, where do you see it in the next 5-10 years?
In the next 5-10 years, we should be the biggest film studio in Southern Africa.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. And we'll be producing mainly Christian movies.
Mm.
Documentaries, short films, even feature films.
Yeah.
Here from Zimbabwe and perhaps another country, but I see myself as potentially the biggest media house in Southern Africa.
Ah, the biggest media house in Southern Africa. That's amazing. Now let's talk about you then as we close. Take a glance back. Think about the last few years or even from when you were young. What advice would you give to your younger self, with retrospect, of course?
The advice that I'll give myself is don't try this. It's a difficult journey. Mm. You will fall down so many times.
Mm.
And also the advice that, don't count on people. Mm. Count on God.
Mm.
If you count on people, they will disappoint you. Yeah. I've read my whereby I entangled my success on some other people's generosity.
Sure.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So you and your God, you are alone, and you just need to focus on what you do best. Keep on working. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
The journey of an entrepreneur is the toughest journey that I've ever traveled.
Yeah.
It's unbearable. Yeah. Sometimes, even at my stage right now,
yeah,
with so many so many things that I've achieved, at times I just look back and I feel like quitting.
Mm.
But overtake that feeling and keep you going. Mm. To where you're from.
Ah, that's beautiful. And what would be the one thing you would change or do differently, given the opportunity again to go back?
One thing that I would change, I'll change my approach in business.
Okay.
I approach business from passion and creativity perspective when I started. Mm. Business, you should focus more on the sales and marketing approach.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Talking about that, here's a comment coming through from Sane. This one says, tell him watching him grow and expand has been beautiful. So there you go. So I think that should give comfort to you. And she says, I'm proud of everything that he is and is becoming. And here's a good one for you, for your media house. And if ever I get married, the video and picture tender is yours, my brother. It's waiting, you know. And I can tell you now that it's a blank check. Because this is a very important person. So it's a blank check.
Oh, my goodness.
So when you meet with her at her wedding, don't ask about money. Just write how much you want from her.
I will do that. I will do that, my brother.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the money is there. Don't worry. The money is there. Any final words to people who follow you, your friends, people who look up to you, church, age mates as well, perhaps even older people that look up to you and admire the work that you do?
Well, I can say in this era of digital innovation and storytelling, your voice is the most powerful thing that you can ever use.
Yeah.
Your creativity is the most powerful tool. There's too much congestion of content creators, content creation.
Yes.
But what stands out is your originality and your voice. And you have to embrace the endless possibility that creativity offers.
Mm.
And the thing is that you have to remain curious, like myself. Mm. I never cease to learn. I learn new things every day.
Mm.
And also, don't look down too much upon yourself. Don't underestimate the impact you have on the world. Believe it in yourself. Tell yourself every day that I am the biggest media.
Yes.
Zimbabwe, I am the best. When you tell yourself that every day, it will really change your perspective, even the energy that you have to work towards building the empire that you're building for yourself.
Ah.
And then also, do not be limited by boundaries.
Mm.
The world is now a global village. Do not be limited to that. You are just going to be working in Lesotho and that's that.
Mm.
Look at yourself in Russia. Look at yourself in Germany.
Mm.
Think or communicate to the people that are outside world, see what they are doing and learn from them. Some will open their arms to teach you. Some will close their doors forever.
Yeah.
But stop learning. And my last and most important comment that I can say is don't compete with people.
Yeah.
Compete with your standard.
Ah.
Don't compete with people. Standard for yourself and run towards that standard.
Ah, don't compete with people, compete with your standards. Thank you so much, my brother. May God bless you. I think we'll certainly be touching base with you in the near future.
Thank you very much, brother.
God bless.
May God bless you.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. Good day.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.